Today is the 22nd of October 2006. We're going today to the lesson number 3, Impermanence, of the second course of the Divine Buddhist Vehicle. Thì trước khi vào buổi học, mình chấp tay niệm niệm hướng dẫn của Bổn Sư ba lần. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Now about it, we're going to the lesson number 3 today. That's about impermanence. Impermanence means not permanence. That's easy to understand, because in Buddhism, you know, we learn that everything changes, everything moves, everything doesn't stay the same. So that is what we call by impermanence. Introduction: greed induced attachment, which give a false impression that things are permanent. Greed means that you try to get everything to yourself. That is, whenever you want to get more, you know, get things for ourselves, we call them greed. That is, you know, whenever we have one thing, we want to have another, and we want to have more of things. So that is greed. And greed, you know, we think that this is natural. Our nature, that is, we feel greedy all the time. We want to have more and more things. Greed, you know, is not good. Why? Because greed induces the attachment. That is, see, we think that the things belong to us. These will be ours. So we want to have our house, we want to have our clothing, our car, our things like this. If everyone, you know, think that they have their own things, so nothing will be common. And then that will be the false impression. Why? Because we think that these things will belong to us forever, which is false. Because whenever we go away, nothing, you know, will belong to us anymore. And even when we're still alive, sometimes, you know, things go away. We go to this main subject, definition. Definition, impermanence. That's easy to understand, right? Impermanence signifies the nature of non-lasting of everything. That's easy to understand. That is, everything, you know, will change. Will not last forever. So whatever has been created will decay, then eventually disappear. Why? Because the Buddha has taught us that everything changes. Everything, either material or spiritual, will go through the four phases: birth, growth, decaying, and death. You remember that, right? We have learned about it during the last course already. So everything, whatever has been created, will decay and eventually disappear. That is like everything in life. The example they give here is like the wave. When we look at the sea, we see sometimes there's some wave. The wave, you know, start to form and then run, go to the shore, become bigger and bigger, and then eventually disappear. That is the example of impermanence. Everything is impermanent. That is, everything which has been born will go away. The body is impermanent, the mind is impermanent, and all the situation, that is everything. In Asia, we call them the 10,000 things. We are impermanent also. That is, everything changes, everything will go away. First, the body is impermanent. First, you know, we said in the introduction, we have the false impression that things are permanent. Because whenever we are healthy, we are feeling good, we think that, well, we are strong. Nobody can hurt us. Until, you know, we get some illness, some sickness, something like this, or some accident, and then we suddenly realize that our body, you know, is very fragile, see? There, you know, it can decay, it can die, you know, suddenly. The body is impermanent. The body grows, changes, and ages. Now, you're young, so usually, you know, you don't think about the old age. You remember the Buddha Shakyamuni? He went out to the city and he saw the old man, the sick man. You remember the four things, right? So then he realized that being human, you know, we will be sick, we will become aged, and then we will eventually die. So the body is impermanent. Sometimes you see that, oh, that's like 100 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, so that's no big deal. I'm only 15, 16, so you don't see it. But the truth is that the body decays every minute. The body changes every second. The fact is that whenever you look back at the album, you have an album, a picture in your house, in your family, you try to look back and you see suddenly, you see that, well, you really changed. You were not the same like that. That's the born baby lying down, and then now you become like a girl, a boy, it's completely different. In fact, that's true. You don't feel that it's the same anymore. Whenever you belong to the same family, you might not notice the change too much. But the older people, the one who don't belong to, who don't see you often, they see the change. Like, I told you about the meeting I had with some friends a long time ago. We went together, in high school, and eventually we graduated from high school. That is, really quite aged, right? 18 years old. And then now when I met with them, they don't recognize me and I didn't recognize them anymore. They completely changed. It's been 40 years. So why the change? The body grows, the change, and we learn in school that everything in your body changes. In fact, the blood which flows into your body, changes every 3 months. After 3 months, you don't see any more of the cell, the same cell you have now. In your blood, they will go away completely after 3 months, and new cell will be in their place. Even your skin, you see, you remember the basal membrane, that is the growth plate, grow up all these cells and form new skin. And the old skin will shred away, slowly, slowly. So you don't shred like a snake. You do shred out your skin every day. Whenever you take a bath, take a shower, so rub away some skin. And your new skin will be in place. So then your body change, your bone change also. If you have an x-ray of your bones, 5 years ago or six years ago, and now you look back at them, you see, completely changed. They're not the same. So everything changed. They change in every second. Every second in your body changed. And in fact, in medicine we say that after 7 years, your body changed completely. You don't have anything left from the old things. Only something the hair. If you grow long hair, you might still have the tip of the hair might stay the same. I mean, might stay like the old one. But the new hair, which grow out from the roots, are different. So that is one way we use in what we call by the forensic medicine. That is you suspect someone might be poisoned or may have some kind of disease, you take their hair. And if they have long hair, that's good. Why? Because it's like the tree. You know about that, right? The tree will grow out. So then they have a concentric wave. Whenever they cut down, they cut the tree, they cut across the tree like that, they know the age of this tree. And how did they grow? The same with your hair. If you have a long strand of hair, we examine it, we see the age. What did you have? Some portion of the hair might have more mercury or more lead or more poison, substance like that. In fact, they know that. Nowadays we know that the Napoleon Bonaparte, the old king of France, emperor of France at the time, he was poisoned with arsenic. We didn't know until we examined the hair. So if you see that the new hair grow out, it's different from the old hair. According to your nutrition, to your feelings, it becomes different. Your body is the same. So the body grows, changes, and ages. There's birth and death of tissues every moment. That you only know, right? You learn at school. the corpse in the casket is not the same body of the newborn baby. But we think that it is the same. We always, you know, put a name on it and we say that this is Mr. Swai or Miss or Madame Tom or something like this. And but then, you know, when she or his were born as a baby, it was completely different from the one who died now. Oh, not only the body, but the thinking, the changing. We will learn about that later. But now we're talking only about the body. That is the material. Parable of the black and white demon. You have already heard about that, right? That's the story in the Buddha's stories. In Buddhism, you know, we have what we call the parable. Parable, you know, is like all the stories in all the religions. These, you know, try to teach us something. So the parable of the white and black demons. That is the story of a man who went far away into the forest. So the nightfall, he didn't find anywhere to rest. So then he go and he see the hut, an old hut. Probably, you know, some like forester, some guy, you know, who cut the wood in the time that they just dress up that hut. So then he tried to slide into it to take a sleep. When he was asleep like that, you know, suddenly he saw there were two demons. Demons, you know, that's really like a very mean guy come in carrying a dead body. These two demons, they carry a dead body into this hut. They throw it on the floor. And then, you know, they start to argue with each other. Who get one say, "Oh, I got this corpse first, so I will eat it." And the other guy say, "No, I was the first one, so I will not let you eat it." So try to argue with them. And then suddenly they saw there was this guy lying down here, really scary, trembling. They say, "Hey, you saw us? Who did you see to bring this corpse first into this hut?" And the guy say, "I was too scared, I didn't say, or you will die." And the guy say, "Yes, I see you, the white guy come in." And the black guy, you know, become angry. He snatched the guy, he tear out one arm, he say, "Okay, so I eat you." And then the white guy see that the black guy, you know, hurt this man, and he say, "You're not supposed to do that." Okay, so he snatched the arm of the dead body, of the dead corpse, you know, pull it out, and then put back into the guy. And then the black demon, become angry. Okay, he snatched the other arm of the guy and pull out. And then the white demon, snatched the other arm of the corpse and put it back into this guy. They keep on doing like that until, you know, the morning come, and then suddenly the guy woke up, and he suddenly realized he don't know if his body is his or the corpse. Story crazy, right? But the meaning of the story is that our body changed. Our body don't stay the same. And we still think that it is exactly the same like it was before. It was not. That is the parable of the black and white demon. And this story has been out 2,500 years ago. So then, well, this is very important, very enlightening. So we see that the body changed. Yet people want body everlasting, thus commits unthinkable sins. Why? Because we think that our body, you know, is the same. Our body is very important. So you see all these, you know, like a perfume, all this cream, all these things, oil, you know, to keep our skin, you know, smooth, all these proactive, right? The young guy has proactive, Jessica Simpson, to wash out the pimple, right? You think that, you know, this is very important because our skin is more important. Our body looks good. I have a little spare tire here. I have to use something. Now, if I just exercise, I think that's still a little bit good because that's good for the health. But then, you know, somebody says, "Oh, you have to suck out this, give the liposuction, or buy some machine. You just put the feet on, and then they wick, and your feet like this, and you lose weight." Have you heard about this? And people lose money. People one body everlasting, thus commit unthinkable sin. Why? Because they think that the body is important. They have to do things like this or that. They don't want all the body, you know, to be as well as theirs. So then, you know, like, you know, if I'm bodybuilder, I want to be number one. I need them, you know, to be big. So what should I do? Steroid, right? Steroid, you use some steroid. Pump them up like this. Then they destroy our kidneys, they destroy our body. Not only that, you see, but then, you know, we want the food to eat. So then, you know, we commit unthinkable sins. Sometimes we just think that, oh, no big deal, just cream. But to get some cream for your body, you have to spend some money, right? And to get some money, you have to work for it, or to beg for it, or to steal for it. The body, you know, is impermanent. So we realize that now that the body is impermanent, and we cannot hold him back. You remember the story, the story when you probably, you know, heard at school about the guy, you know, who tried to become older. The young guy, you remember? The young kid who wants to become older. Oh, I'm too young now. I want to drive a car. I want to have the money. But I'm too young. I can't do it. I wish I'd be 1 year older. A lot of you guys, you know, think like that. But then, you know, it's the thing. So there's the genie. Suddenly appear and then say, you want this? I give you this spool of thread. Whenever you pull the thread out, you get age. So then if you want to be age more, just pull out more thread. And say, thank you, Jenny. Okay, bye-bye. And then he say, I want to be older so I can have this and that. I can drive a car now, right? Pull. And then suddenly, you know, he become older, right? If he good, pull more. And then he suddenly, you know, become older, he get a wife, get children, things like that. Oh, that's good, but I don't have enough money now. I want to work a lot, you know, become famous, things like that. Pull out. He become famous. He become rich, wealthy. He have his children to grow up. He pull more. And then say, oh, now good, but suddenly he's saying, well, my hair start to fall. How can I do? And he tried to rewire the spoon, but he couldn't. So then, you know, of course, he died. That is the only story telling us about the impermanence of life. We will take it as it is. The Buddha always teaches us, see the thing as they are. Take the thing as it is. Don't expect for the thing, you know, which we cannot correct it again. So, the body is impermanent. Now we realize that, you know, our body change every day. Our body change. Our body doesn't stay the same. We thought that, you know, our body was strong. Our body is like this, like that. But suddenly, like, you know, if I'm sick now, you know, I don't feel good. Some people, you see, he was good, he was healthy, he was handsome boy, and then now, you know, he rides in a wheelchair. He doesn't have any more legs. A lot of people like that. Or so he get into an accident, and then now, you know, he's brain dead. So the body changed. Body is impermanent. Now the second thing, the mind is impermanent. That is something very real, very natural, but we don't know about it, or we don't want to know about it. The mind, of course, you know, is impermanent. The mind changes every second. The illusion of permanence is due to the quickly changing of thought, which arises constantly. So then, you know, we see that since our mind will change constantly, in fact, you know, it changed completely. Just say, if you don't go to school, after 1 year, what will you be able to do? You'll stay the same, right? Or you learn some skill outside, but you don't learn as much as the guy who stayed at school. So if a guy, like, you know, they go to school, they stay like 5 years, 6 years, like when you graduate from high school, you stay in college or university, you stay for 3 years, 5 years. After that, you will get what? At least, you know, a bachelor of something, right? Or become an engineer, but you get something. Now the guy, you know, he does not go to high school, does not go to college or university. After 5 years, after 3 years, what does he get? Nothing, right? So that is the difference of the mind. That is, if you learn something, you study something, you will get more. You don't learn, you don't get more. So our mind change. And sometimes we forget about that. So then, especially the old people, whenever they see the young people, they say, "Hey, young people, young guy, you this and you that." But they forget that this young guy, this young girl, you know, has become now like a doctor, a dentist, an engineer or something. And they learn more. They know more. They have a position already. They change. But people don't realize that. Or sometimes they realize, but they really don't really realize. That is to say that, what are you now? They say, "I have become a dentist." They say, "Oh, good for you, they're good dentist." But that's it. But they still treat them like, you know, a child like before. So you have friends also. If they stay with you at the same class, go with you to the same university, college, study the same courses, they might, you know, stay the same with you. But many of your friends, you know, will divert. That is, you know, they go to another place. They will drop out of school, so they change. That is only an example for you to understand that the mind is impermanent. But your mind does change. Like some other mother, you know, will say that, "Well, my kids, you know, they are impossible now. They don't listen to me anymore. When they was younger, you know, when they want to do something, they always ask me. They always do that and do this, and now they don't do it anymore." Of course, because the mind change, you see. Whatever they change, or however it changes, is according to our direction. That is, if we want to direct it to the good things, they will become good. The mind change. You think that this is the good, and the other guy thinks that that is the good. So then these two, you know, supreme, you know, mind, you know, collide with each other and they explode. So illusion of permanence is due to the quickly changing of thought which arises constantly. So then, you know, we think that, well, my thinking is right. I hold the truth. The truth must be like that. The reality must be like that. The law must be like that. If you think differently, you're the devil or reactionary or whatever. You're against me. You're outlaw. So we don't realize that the mind change also. The self is the illusionary permanence of the thought stream and origin of evilness. So you see, this is a big difference between Buddhism and other religions. Most of other religions will teach you about the self and praise the self. That is, you are unique. You are the only one. You are forever. You are thinking, you think like this. Always praise the self. Why? Because like we just learned from the beginning, we are ignorant. So we think that the self is the most important. In fact, you know, we are greedy. We are like ignorant. So we think that the self is most important. We want to gather everything to the self. So we promote the self. But Buddha teaches us that the self is illusionary. The self is only a combination of different things. The self exists because of the other things. It does not exist by itself. But whenever we think like this, you know, we think that, well, Buddhists are pessimistic. They don't believe in the self. They just don't praise us. I do something good. I do something. They don't want to praise me. They are too pessimistic. We have the illusion of permanence due to the quickly changing of thought which arises constantly. Like you see, you might be happy now, or you might be friend with someone. You have a good friend. And some people write in their yearbook, "John and Jack, you know, friends forever, forever, ever, ever." And then 2 years or 3 years later, they fight with each other. Of course, you would see a lot of things like this. Why? Because they might change. And we cannot blame on it, because our thought change. And if our thought change, we always think that, well, my thought don't change. They stay the same, because I've been to this and then to this and this, so they must be the same, which is not. And the other guy thinks the same. I think like this, and then I think like that, and then I think like this, and then I think like that, so they must be the same. But they are not the same. So then this because of the ignorance, the self is illusionary, permanence, and origin of evil. Even because, and even good deeds also. Because if you think that, well, wait, there must be a heaven, right? So then, you know, if I do everything good like this, I will die and I go to heaven. I get everything good, or I go to the Pure Land or something like this, even if you're Buddhist, I go and then I get golden things. The soil is only gold, the house is gold, the food are gold, similar. So you think that is good, but you think wrong. That's ignorance. So if you think like that, that is the origin of evil. And they say even good deeds. But good deeds mean that we try not to do something to gather some good deeds for us. And that's also wrong. Because at this level, we might think that this is good. And it's good. It's better than evil. But later on, when we learn more, we'll see that anything will not be good. So we see that the body is impermanent. The body changes every time. The mind is also impermanent, because the mind will change also. And we cannot blame anyone. We cannot say that my dad, he was like this and now he was like that. No, he changed also. Your mommy also. And the parents, we think the same about the children. Now we think, we're talking about the situation or the, all the conditions, all the things, we have 10,000 things. All of them are impermanent also. Not only the body, not only the mind, but everything in the world changed. Of course, you see, because there was beginning of the of the solar system, right? We're living in the solar system. We're living on the Earth, which is they call them the third rock from the sun. So the third rock from the sun, we appear here, and then someday we will disappear. That's the body and the mind. But even the Earth, someday will disappear. It will disappear faster before the sun. Why? Because you remember the sun. Like we said before, and you learn at school, the sun will shrink, will cool off. The sun will cool off and then shrink in about 5 billion years. Exactly 5,600,000,000 years. That's the calculation of all the astronomers and the physicists. Why? Because the mass of the sun is exploding now. And someday, this mass will expire. They don't have any more things to explode, to expand. So then the mass of the sun will shrink. The sun will stop to send out on this energy. And of course, it will shrink. Like you know about the black hole. Usually, the star, the sun is the star. The star will shrink back. First, it will cool off. It will cool off and then it will shrink. When it shrinks, it will become what we call by a dwarf star. You know that, right? Learning astronomy, it will become a dwarf star. And when the dwarf star will keep on shrinking, it will become a black hole. What is a black hole? That is the shrinking of all the matters. An atom, right? An atom has a core and the electrons. And between the core and the electron, there's an enormous emptiness. But then, whenever the orbits of the electron become smaller, that is no shrink, and go nearer to the core, somehow the light cannot emit anymore. The light is a wave, right? You learn about that. The light is photon wave. And photon wave, this wave go to the speed of 300,000 kilometers per second. So that's a wavelength. And whenever this wavelength is lesser than the distance of the core to the electron, so then it cannot emit any light. So you don't see any more light. They call them the black hole. The black hole, is a shrinking mass. And when it shrinks like that, the mass stays the same by the law of physics. Remember? The law of physics, the mass stays the same. So then it still weighs like a billion of a kilogram. But then the mass, you can put it on the spoon. The mass will shrink. But then the mass stays the same, the attraction stays the same by the law of physics. So the attraction to the other stuff around it, to the Earth, to the Mars, Venus, stays the same. So that explains to you about the suction effect of this black hole in the universe. They say that whenever you go through near a black hole, you'll be sucked into it. It's not really sucked into it because it has just an attraction. That attention, you know, explain the reason why we discover on this black hole. But the sun, our sun, you know, will become a dwarf star, and will become a black hole. Since the black hole, you know, still get the same mass, the attraction to the Earth stay the same. So the Earth will not, you know, go into the sun and collide, like, you know, some other people thought before. It stay like that, but then, you know, since we don't have any more light, we stay, you know, in constant winter. So then, you know, no life, you know, will be preserved on the Earth anymore. Everything will become like freezing in the world. So then our body, you know, will die. So even our solar system will die. Right? You see this? The situation is impermanent. Even the whole world, the whole Earth, the whole system, you know, will die. But all the system is still alive. But they change. They do change. Some solar system, you know, die, and some solar system will start to be born. So everything is impermanent, even the whole world and also the conditions. The condition is like, you know, just like when now, you know, you don't have enough toys, right? You think that I cannot afford a Corvette, I cannot afford things like this, I don't have my old room, or I don't have my old house. But then, you know, you will grow up, you will start to work, you will start to have a good job, you will start, you know, to have a wife or a husband who also work, you know, and they get a lot of money too. So you start to have one house, two house, three house, and big mansion, and you have a 5-6 car. I don't know what to do with them, but truthfully, you know, you change, or somebody don't change, or they change differently. They have money, they start to do something else. So even the money change, right? The condition change. Some poor people, you know, become wealthy, and some wealthy people become poor. The thing change. And some people, you know, drop down, like, you know, the Exxon executive, the Exxon company, the CEO of it, he got in jail, and then he died in jail too. See, he was like a millionaire, very powerful. Suddenly, or Saddam Hussein, you saw him, he was very good before, right? Very powerful, very wealthy, and now, you know, he's stay in jail. So our condition changed, even our condition changed. So don't ever think that it will stay the same for you. Don't ever think that my mom here, my dad's here. You don't know. There might be an accident and your mom and your dad might go away suddenly. Or there was like a fire and then you see suddenly the temple go away. So you see in France, that's big, they have a big temple. And suddenly, you know, one night the fire comes and then in the morning nobody see anything anymore. In the time that we had a war in Vietnam, when we were very small, or we weren't born yet, many people died, many people changed, many wealth, many fortune changed hands. They changed suddenly like this. So the situation are really impermanent. The universe is changing every second. You only know that. Our universe is expanding. You only know that, right? Even the history is just a record of changing even. Of course, you have learned about history. The history is only a record of the changing events. Because if the events don't change, they wouldn't record it. They record only the changing events. Like, you know, we have President Bush, and then the President Clinton, and then President Bush again, and then whoever. So they have it. They record the changing events only. So everything in the world changes. Don't think that, you know, it will stay for you like forever. And if we have the ignorance of thinking that the situation will stay the same forever, we will kill ourselves. People who kill themselves, who commit suicide, is that because they think that they are too important. Nothing can change for them anymore. True. If they try to sit down and realize that, well, everything will go away, everything will change, they wouldn't take it out of their life. In the time of some people, whenever they had an exam to graduate from school, and if they didn't pass it, they go and kill themselves. That happened. Nowadays, you know, you don't do it anymore, right? Because why? Because you see that if I cannot do it, I still can have something, I can get retaken again, or I can get later in GED. But in the time for them, that's it. If they get something, they get anything. And then for them, this is very important. This is the utmost important thing. So try not to see clearly. If you guys can see clearly like this, you're good. That is everything changing. Parable of the greedy king. The greedy king, this is another story in the Buddha teaching. Buddha teaching is that you have, you know, something. many things like thieves, war thieves, and you are one of them. The children are one of them, for parents. This is a parable of the greedy king. That is the king, and now they know we don't have king anymore, but we call them the governor, the guy, politician, that is the king. The king. So, in the time, see, there was a king. A king, you know, of course, is the most powerful thing. It's like nowadays we call them the president of the United States, or the governor, or something like this. In his country, he suddenly sees that, he get out and then see that there are still many wealthy people in my country. Usually nowadays, you know, if you think that you are like a democratic people, you believe in the equality of people, so you don't think that that's bad. Because like, you know, if you go out to the city nowadays and you see that there's a lot of wealthy people, a lot of new house development, oh good, there's many wealthy people, right? And you don't feel anything. But in the time of this king, you get out and say, how come they are so wealthy? They're supposed to be like poor. So they have to pay tax to me. They have to feed me. I as a king, you know, I must have all the wealth. And the people are not supposed to have too much, because if they have too much money, too much wealth, you know, they can revolt against me. Because if they are so poor, I talk and they will listen. So you think that, oh, so that's not good. That's not good. So I have to decree, to give our decree, saying that, people, all of you, you must remit to me 20% of all your wealth by the end of the month, everyone. So then he put out a decree like this. He sent out a soldier to get into the house, and then if you have like five pig, they would get one pig. If you have like five chair, they get one chair. So he put out the decree, but he said that, well, that will be applied at the end of the month. So there was an old man, an old, very wise man. He come to the king then and say, King, I will give you all my wealth. And this king said, how come? You have your wife. I mean, in the time they have many wives, many children. You still have to feed them. So why do you, if you will give to me everything, how can you feed yourself? And these guys say, I know that sooner or later, you will get the other stuff also, the other fourth. Now you take my fifth, and later on you will get all these fourth. Because I realize that if I give it to you now, you will not stop there. And then we will get all of them. The king say, but then how can you survive? You still have your wife, you need to get at least something to feed them. And say that, no, everything belongs to you now, my majesty. He's good, right? But then the king was wise. So he suddenly realized that that was because of his greed. He is one of the cause of suffering of his people. So he said, no, I will take back the decree. Because why? Now I am a king. But then if the people become too poor, they can revolt against me. They can chop off my head. They get another king or many other kings. So then he realized that. All the situations, all the things in the world are also impermanent. Like all the stuff in the world, all the situation, if you are poor now, you can become richer tomorrow. If you are rich now, you can become poor tomorrow. If you are thin now, you can become fat tomorrow. And if you are too fat now, then you can lose some weight later. Everything changed. Now, determination. So we learn about the body is impermanent, the mind is impermanent, the situation, the conditions, they are all impermanent. So everything in the world is impermanent. Even the Buddha died. So then, what is the determination now? Now we ask first, is impermanence of Buddhism cause of pessimism? This is a good question. The Buddhists, they always say that everything is impermanent, everything is not real, there's no real self. So it is cause of pessimism. See, because you learn at school, they teach you about positive thinking, about the self. But then they just push you for a false view, that is an illusion of the real self, which is not real. So Buddhist impermanence is the truth, the fact to help people see the real nature of things. That is, when you see into it, you see that this is the true thing. This is the McCoy, the real thing. Like you see on these advertisements, on the magazine, they say that, oh, when you drink Coke or Pepsi, things like this, you become like this, or you drive good cars, things like this. You say, no, well, it's not because you drink Coke or Pepsi that you can drive a good car, things like this, right? But then they always, you know, picture, you know, with like a pretty woman, you know, handsome boys, with car, which is not real. So, see the real nature of things, thus avoid even doing. The illusion of impermanence also due to the fleeting nature of things. If we think that things are impermanent, it's not because, you know, it moves too fast. So we think one thought arises and die, another thought comes and die, thought can come and die. But too quick, so we think that it's real. We have talked about that, you know, last year, right? I mean, you know, in the last course, about like the movie. Now, if you see, if you watch a movie on DVD or things like that, you won't understand much. But you go to the movie theater and you see the picture on the screen. You see that these pictures are made of pictures. They flash out like a 24 times a second. Every second, 24 pictures will be flashed out. And then, since the continuation of all these pictures give you the illusion of the real things, of real action, so you see things going smoothly, you know, on the screen, and you think that all these characters, you see them real. But if you suddenly, you know, the projector stop, you see that everything will be frozen. So then they are not real anymore. They are just pictures. When I was small, I used, you know, to play with my friends with a small booklet like this, stack of paper, and then we try to draw some picture. Like, you know, a guy with the hands moving up like that, and when we flip them, you know, really fast, we see them moving. So then that gives us the illusion that things moving. But they are not moving. See, illusion of impermanence is also due to the fleeting nature of things. They move too fast, and we think that, you know, it's real. It's like, I take an example, very easy to understand. Like in the morning when you wake up, you feel happy, right? Today is Sunday, so then you go with your mom and say, you need to go. Listen to Dr. Duke, you know, with me, his mumbo jumbo, and then go home. It's a good thing. Say, I don't want to do it. Listen. So please go. And then this evening, you know, this afternoon, you know, I bring you to the movie or to the shopping. Good. So you have come. You come and then you meet with someone. Now you think that, you think at the time that I will go, I will listen, and then after that, you know, I will go home. And she will bring me to shopping, to go to one market, or whatever, see, and then buy something, or go to Gap, you know, get me your jacket, or winter, or thing like this. So you plan everything, and then go, come here, you listen, he keep on talking, you know, I don't understand a word, but that's no problem, goes 1 hour, that's it. And then you get out, and then mom say, there's a lady who's sick, we have to go visit him. Mom, but then, you know, how's my shopping? He says, we do it later. Probably, you know, in the evening. Now you're not pleased, right? But then you still hope that probably, you know, well, she will bring me shopping. And then suddenly, you know, some people say, oh, now we have to, you forget that, you know, we have to do this. And that's what I say. Oh, I forgot that. So kids, go home. We go next week. You say, what? Right? You see, so then, you know, everything changed. Everything fleeting change in the world. That's you know, only an example. You think that many things change. Like in the morning when you wake up, you go to school, you plan something, and then when you come back from school, do you feel as happy like, you know, in the morning, or do you feel different? Most of the time, many times different, right? So that is impermanence. So now, you know, we go into this. This is only a small glimpse into the Buddha nature. At this level, we don't talk about it yet. But you remember that in Mahayana Buddhism, we have the Buddha nature. That is, you know, everyone will have the Buddha nature. The Buddha nature is something we think that is permanent. But like everything, you know, it is not that permanent. But it changed very little. So then we think that it is completely permanent. Talk about that later. So, conclusion, impermanence is the law governing everything, including body, mind, condition. Understanding impermanence is the key to solve greed, love of self, ignorance. It helps to help us to stay calm in changing situations, in separation, in disasters. meditation on impermanence help in revealing the Buddha nature. So impermanence, he learned that impermanence is a law. It is not invented by the Buddha. It is something in the natural. Now you, whether you like it or not, you don't like it or not, you know, it still stay there. Impermanence is a law governing everything, including body, the mind, and condition. So we think, we see now, you know, that everybody, everything must change and will change. So now we understand impermanence is the key to solve the greed, the love of self, and the ignorance. To solve the greed, what is greed? Greed is to try to gather everything to us. Greed, you want more and more and more. You don't ever stop, you know, thinking that, oh, that's enough. If you think that, you know, I have enough, I'm full, that's good. But if you still think that, I can have more things like this, that's greedy. To solve the greed, we must realize, we must understand about the impermanence of things and the love of self. The love of self, you know, is not that bad. But it is bad because why? Because that will promote yourself and try not to minimize the other selves. You understand what I mean, right? That is, you know, you will hurt other selves. Like I say, I want to be healthy. I need to eat like 1 pound of meat every day. Some people say that. Some people say that. You know, oh, you want to have a smooth skin, you have to eat more lobster. And if you eat like 2 lobster a day, you know, you feel your skin very smooth. Yes, some people think like that. Or some people think that, like in the time, you remember all these kings, they say that they want to become strong, they have to eat like the palm of the bear. You know, the paw bear? They just get to the palm of the bear and want to eat, so they become strong. They think that, so then they have to kill a lot of bears to eat them. And of course, you know, if they become strong or not, you don't even know that. So, the law of self, you know, is bad because of this. Because if you get too much attachment to it, it's not good. Like you see, you have to, when before you go somewhere, you have to do the hairdo and put some mascara on and then do something. I don't know what to do. What do they do like this? But they do it. And then before you go to bed, you put this mask on, put some like, if you don't have too much money, just some like a cucumber on the eyes to remove the wrinkle, right? Or if you have too much money, buy all these masks to put on, including the guys nowadays. I saw some guy who put on the mask too. So then, well, you take care of the sun too much. And then when you get out to the sun, you try to avoid, you know, the sun. Because the sun, you know, will make the face become dark. So not good. Love of the sun. And if some people are there to say that, oh, the older girls look prettier than you, or the older guy who is more handsome than you, oh, good, that's been good. And the ignorance of course, you know, is clear. You don't have to explain too much about it. It helps us to stay calm in changing situation, in separation, in disaster. Because like you said now, the fortune will come and go also. If you have like a good karma, you can get more. But if you don't have enough, or you suddenly know, some people know, start to insult you, you just say that this is impermanent, and you stay calm. And meditation impermanent helps in revealing the Buddha nature. That is, you know, if you really practice, sometimes you have to sit down on meditation on impermanence. In Vietnamese, they call it Quán Vô Thường. It's one of the 5 ways to meditate. You meditate about decaying things, right? You meditate about compassion, and now you meditate about the impermanence of things. When you sit down and you think, you see that, you know, everything's impermanent. Everything is not the thing the same. So then, you know, something come, something go, you don't change that much. Either, you know, it's a fame or it's like a insult, they're same for you. That's it for the today's lesson. So we just remember about the impermanence of things. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều trọn thành Phật đạo.